Thank you for downloading Yacht Blast. Island 92's maritime show comes to you from St. Martin, the yachting capital of the Caribbean. This podcast may have been edited for copyright reasons.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Easter edition of Yacht Blast, Island 92's weekly programme of rock, blues and sailing news with me, Gary Brown. Now, ever since I was a youngster visiting the river ports on the east coast of England, I have been fascinated by tugboats. So when I read about a tugboat race, I had to find out more. Ken Sanderson joins me on the line from the Seattle Maritime Festival. How would you like to organise a one-day regatta for 1,700 boats and 16,000 sailors? The annual Round the Isle of Wight race is just such an event. Press officer Peter Stewart Hunt tells us more about this amazing race. Brad Van Loo rode into his home port of Charleston on Tuesday to win leg four of the Velux Five Oceans race. Brad has now won all four stages and is pretty much guaranteed that first podium place. We hear from Brad as he stepped ashore. Now, it being Easter, we're not allowed to broadcast live, so we recorded the show earlier this week. That means no offshore marine forecast. But pre-recorded or not, we still have lots of good stuff in the bag. So let's get the Easter edition of Yacht Blast underway with some music, and this from Sir Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney and Jet. Now, because Yacht Blast was pre-recorded for Easter, it's no good tweeting or posting on my Facebook page and expecting a reply in real time, because I'm at the beach. Without my laptop, I may add. But don't let that stop you from getting in touch. My Facebook page is Gary E. Brown, or you can tweet at Ocean Media. My email is gaz@island92.com, and I would love to hear from you. Let's change things around a bit for Easter and open the show with some industry news. And there's good news coming out of Sarasota, Florida, this week, where a year on from the BP oil spill, reports from the Suncoast Boat Show note a rise in sales. Referring to the oil spill and the global recession, Darren Plimo, sales manager at Galati, a high-end brokerage with 8 sites, mostly on the Gulf, said that nobody's segment was untouched. But for the survivors, the world is starting to look more navigable again. Good news there out of Florida. The World Cruising Club has announced that from 2014, the World Arc Around the World Sailing Rally will become an annual event, starting every January from Rodney Bay in St. Lucia. World Arc is currently a biannual event, starting in January and finishing 15 months later. The current event started in January 2010, and the next start will be in January 2012. ARC say that demand for a rally in the off years led to the decision to make World Arc an annual event. This will make it easier for cruisers to sail half the rally, then take a year out to explore on their own, before rejoining the subsequent rally to complete their circumnavigation. More details can be found at worldcruising.com.
Join the crew of the infamous floating bar Lucky Lady on a rip-roaring chase across the Caribbean. Tackle storms, party hard or die trying. Packed with unforgettable characters, Caribbean High is for anyone who dreams of adventure in the Caribbean and life on the edge. The Caribbean's number one sailing thriller, Caribbean High by Gary E. Brown, is now available in paperback and as an ebook from Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk. Or ask at your local bookstore. Visit the author's website, GaryEBrown.net, for details.
It's the largest one-day sailing event in the world. When we come back, I'll be talking to Press Officer Peter Stewart Hunt about the J.P. Morgan Assets Management Round the Island race. First, one of the all-time greats from the Hollies. The Hollies and He Ain't Heavy, released in the UK in September 1969 and featuring Elton John on piano. Right. How would you like to organise a one-day race for 1,700 boats and 16,000 sailors? Well, that's what the Island Sailing Club in the Isle of Wight do every year. Peter Stewart Hunt is their press officer, and she joined me on the line on Thursday.
Basically, I'm retained by the Island Sailing Club, who run the race. They organise it and they manage it every year, and they retain me as the race press officer. So I spend about 8 months of the year working up to that one big day in June, and I'm really protecting the interests of the organisers in the race and the integrity of the event And obviously JP Morgan Asset Management have their own agency who look after their interests, but I need to obviously look after the interests of the organisers. It's a big job and there's a lot of work and we love what we do.
No, it is a big job. This has to be one of the biggest one-day sailing events anywhere in the world. I believe last time, 1,700 boats, 16,000 sailors. That's quite a responsibility.
That is a big responsibility. And they have a huge race management team that's highly professional, very practiced. The race has been going since 1931. It started off with 25 boats. And as you say, we're now, last year, we were up to over 1,700. It's a phenomenal event, and quite amazingly, as far as we are aware, there's never been a major upset in the race. There's never been, fortunately, a death. I'm touching wood firmly as I say that, but it is an extraordinary event, and these boats, they take from anything from, you know, 3 hours to 12 to get round the island. It's a 50-mile westabout course. And amazingly, they don't all collide with each other.
It's absolutely amazing. I've seen the video of the start and seen it on film, and it just looks like chaos.
Yes, it's organised chaos.
And what's really impressive about this race is that you have boats there, the whole spectrum, boats like the Supermax's ICAP Leopard, which I believe is still the course record holder set in 2008, and then you have the maxi trimarans flying around, flying the hulls and leaving, you know, people in their wake. And then you have mom and pop in the 20-footers.
Yep, I know. Isn't it lovely?
It is. It's wonderful. And you must be receiving requests now as we get close to the race, as the press officer, from all over the world for information.
Yes, we do. It's lovely. I mean, we have a very much an international appeal, and technology has really helped to bring the race to the world. We introduced last year for the first time race tracking on our website, so people can actually log on and track 10 boats or so as they go around the island. So it's really opened it up to friends and families and an international audience. And technology has played a big part, I think, in increasing the numbers. It's easier to enter online now with the tracking as well, and the results service is excellent. So technology has had a big part to play, I think, in growing the numbers over the recent years.
Now, this year, I think for the first time, the official charity for the race is Dame Helen MacArthur Cancer Trust. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it's absolutely wonderful. Actually, I'm thrilled because I've worked with them when they were the official charity when Scandia was sponsoring Cows Week, and I was the press officer for a number of years for Cows Week. And they were the official charity for 3 years, so I got to know them very well in their infancy, and it's lovely to be back working with them again in the Round the Island race. They basically look after young people who have been through leukemia and cancer and are recovering, and give them opportunities to go sailing, and they've been very successful. They're looking to raise, I think, around £80,000, as it's the 80th anniversary. They've plucked that figure out of the air and decided they're going to go for it, and they want to also get 80 young people to sail round the island, and they've just launched a Buy a Mile initiative, which is a virtual game, as it were, which we just press released yesterday, and that's going really, really well. So we're putting everything we can behind trying to get them to their goal.
Well, what a great cause, and we do wish you well with that one.
Thank you. And we're very fortunate, obviously, to have Dame Ellen as patron, and she will be also racing this year on the Trust boat, which is called Moonspray, which you might want to, you know, people might want to track it, see how it gets on.
Wonderful stuff. Now, you've got, say, 1,700 boats all heading down the Solent.
We hope to have.
Well, let's just, for argument's sake, say you're going to have 1,700.
Yes.
So they're all heading down the Solent under spinnaker, we hope. Beautiful sight. 15 knots of breeze. You don't want any more. And there, coming towards these boats, is a ship. Because this is Southampton Water, one of the busiest waterways in the world, coming in out off the channel, the English Channel, into that area. How on earth does that work? How do the logistics of a commercial port, or the commercial ports that are on the Solent and around the Isle of Wight, how do you deal with that with all these boats out there?
Well, our lovely Cowes Harbour Master and the lovely team at ABP in Southampton get together and make sure that shipping movements are coordinated with what's going on during the Round the Island race. They work together. They work very early on in the year to plan the course is pretty similar every year, to be perfectly honest, so everybody knows what's going on and what to avoid and what not to avoid, and the risks and the dangers of going. I mean, there are all sorts of wrecks and things, obstacles, as it were, that one has to negotiate when you're going around the Isle of Wight. One of those things, obviously, is making sure you don't get run down by a ferry or a container ship. And they are there, and we've got fantastic pictures on our website of container ships with, you know, SB3s running along beside them. And it's just the nature of the beast. I think it adds to the challenge for the sailors. And there's some fairly clever sailing skills come to the fore, to be honest. But they're very, very careful about where the ships are in relation to the fleet.
Now, I can just imagine the first mate on board a container ship, maybe not knowing the race is on, and saying, Captain, I think you better come to the bridge.
They will know the race is on, believe me. There's a lot of communication
I'm sure.
between race management and the port authorities and the captains and vice versa. It's all handled beautifully.
And now, what about the rescue services? 1,700 boats, 16,000 sailors. There are going to be people who need help, even if they just get really seasick or they get bumped on the head or whatever. Who's out there to help them?
It's all covered. The Island Sailing Club, again, have a mass of volunteer army who are out on spotter boats. They're on safety boats at all the key areas as you go around the island. They're sitting off marks, and all the way around the course there are spotters on boats ready to take people off boats if necessary. We're heavily involved with the RNLI. Cowes Inshore Lifeboat comes into play. Everybody pulls out all the stops to make sure that nobody is left in trouble on a boat. It's a very, very safe race. It's as safe as any yacht race can possibly be. Obviously, a certain amount, you have to rely on the skill of the skipper and the crew, and also the common sense prevails. If there's a problem on board, then they radio through and somebody comes and picks them up. And that all works incredibly well.
Now, off the top of your head, do you have any, what we call in St. Martin when they come to the Arigata here, sailing rock stars? These are the big, big names.
Oh, yes. We've been very fortunate. I mean, it does. The nice thing about it, I mean, it's not, from a media perspective, it's always a tough one. Cowes Week was the same. People want to come and sail under the radar. So we get a lot of very, very famous people doing the Round the Island race, but you don't necessarily know about it. So it's quite a tough one when you get a journalist ringing and saying, oh, we've heard a rumour that. But we're very, very thrilled to have Jessica Watson, teenage sailing star from Australia, coming over to race with Mike Perham, the other teenage sailing star from Great Britain. And they're pairing up to do the race this year. Mike's done it before. He actually entered when he was 15, and I think he's probably set the record as the youngest ever skipper. He had his boat Cheeky Monkey and did the Round the Island race. Well, anyway, they're paired up and coming back to race a Beneteau this year, so that's quite exciting. Almost certainly, when we have charity involvement, we also get ambassadors who come down. So we haven't quite got to the point yet, Gary, where we can release the name of our celebrity race starter. But we always have somebody who makes, you know, a few column inches, who's quite a well-known name, and they come down and start the race. So that's quite exciting. And that's yet to be revealed. But we do. We've had Lewis Hamilton, all sorts of people come down and do the race.
It all sounds wonderful. Now, one final question for you. What time will your day start on the day of the race?
Early. Slightly less early than last year, which was my very first year as race press officer for this particular event. I think I probably had 2 hours sleep. This year, the first start is at 6 o'clock in the morning, 0600, which means I'll probably be up at about 3:30 and opening the press office at 4.
Wow.
About 2 hours before the kickoff, because we have to get the journalists out onto press boats and ready to be actually on the start line to get the pictures, and the cameras are out and the film crews are out. So our day will start at 4 o'clock in the morning, at the very latest, and we'll be going through right through until 10, probably 10 o'clock that night.
And you've got to make sure those journalists are sober before you get them out on the boat.
No booze on the press boats. I'll just say that very loudly and clearly for anybody who's listening.
Well, that wouldn't work on our regatta here in St. Martin, I can tell you that right now. Before I let you go, just tell us the date for the Around the Island race.
This year, it's Saturday, June the 25th.
Well, we wish you all the best with it, and it's been lovely talking to you here on Yacht Blast.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Peter Stewart Hunt, press officer for the glorious J.P. Morgan Asset Management Around the Island Race, held every year around the Isle of Wight. To find out more, go to the Island Sailing Club website, which is www.islandsc.org.uk, and follow the link. There's also a link on the Yacht Blast website.
You're listening to Yacht Blast, brought to you by Island 92 and Ocean Media.
This one's for Peter and all the good folks at the Island Sailing Club. Lionel Richie and Sail On. Disappointment for St Martin this week with news that the Transatlantic Maxi Yacht Cup will now finish in the British Virgin Islands. The prestigious event, which began in 2007, is aimed at maxi yachts leaving the Med at the end of the season, bound for the Caribbean. To rub salt into the wounds, a second and new race, the Transatlantic Super Yacht Regatta, reserved for maxi boats over 30.5 metres in length, will leave the start in Tenerife at the same time and will also finish in the BVI. It has to be said that St Martin has done nothing wrong. The reason for the change of finish is that the race organisers, the yacht club Costa Smeralda, have a new clubhouse and marina in Virgin Gorda. However, the message it does send to St Martin is that it really needs to get its act together, because every island now wants a piece of the lucrative yachting pie. Canadians have been bullied into taking a more stringent test if they want to go boating. As of now, Transport Canada is replacing the old 36-question, 40-minute exam with a more challenging 50-question test. According to Cameron Taylor, president of BoatSmart Canada, the country's largest course provider, the test has a better quality to it to help ensure that boaters have a basic level of boating safety knowledge. Now, Mr. Cameron would say that. I'm sure his company are making big bucks from the test. Anyway, Taylor estimates that 4 million Canadians need to obtain the operating licence and noted that anyone, regardless of age, had to pass the exam. Whatever happened to freedom? And after that nonsense, we need some music. Red Tape. It's enough to turn you to drink. It's a good one for Sunday morning. Johnny Cash and Sunday Morning Coming Down. A long time since I had a beer for breakfast. If you're a regular listener, then you will know that we have been following the VELUX Five Oceans race. Well, on Tuesday, American Brad Van Loo sailed into his home port of Charleston to win the fourth leg of the race. Brad arrived to a terrific welcome, and hundreds of people turned out to greet him. Here's the man himself talking to reporters moments after he stepped ashore.
It was a heck of a leg. Derek really put it down hard and laid it down in a real way, and it was a real boat race all the way to the finish, and Chris has got Derek spooked, and Derek had me spooked, and we were just wide open all the way here.
Was it a tougher leg than you thought it would be?
Yeah, by far. Having done this race three times, you know, I've always favored the left side of the course on this leg, and it's always been the way to go, and this time it just wasn't, and it was a pretty spooky few days there when Derek was taking out my lead, and it was further north than me, and all he had to do was find a little passing lane there to come left and get in front of me and between me and Charleston, and that would have been it. And fortunately, he wasn't quite able to close the deal, and I worked really, really hard with a lot of the big sails all the time, and was able to stay between Derek and here, and fortunately it worked out.
How special is it winning Ocean Sprint 4 here in Charleston, your hometown?
Well, I mean, for me, this is it. You know, I mean, obviously, if I could have chosen, you know, one leg to win, this would be it. You know, this is my home port, and you know, I'm involved in the maritime community here in Charleston, and all my friends and family are here, and it would have been pretty disappointing to have won the previous three legs and not win this one. So I was very focused and very determined. Yeah, mathematically, I think it's a done deal as far as the points go, so that's good news. The bad news or the variable is obviously the fact that I got to get to Charleston. So, you know, that has to be my priority right now. As much as I'm a competitive person, and I'm sure I'll get into the heat of the moment, you know, during the next leg and want to throw down, the reality is that I've got to tell myself to stay focused on the fact that I just got to get the boat to La Rochelle in one piece. and that'll put it in the bank for me. So I'm in a very good spot. I mean, I wouldn't trade my position with anybody else, but I'm also a competitive person and will want to be involved in the boat race. But you know, Derek and Gutek have something on. You know, I mean, Derek now won the speed gate. He's going to get second in his leg, and he was 5 points behind. Now he's only what, like two or one or something. And that's big stuff, you know. And Gutek's got a little bit of the baggage that's going to go along with this leg and the damage, and he's not going to have time to repair his keel. And Derek's going to have the uplifting boost of having had such a good leg. So it'll be really interesting to see the dynamic between those two next leg. And you know, and Chris is anxious to further his professional racing career and has a lot to prove as well. So you know, we've all. Yeah, this is a special event, and one of the things that's special with the VLUX 5 Oceans is that it's not one race, really. It's five races within a race, and what it means is that one of us can stub our toe and go into the next leg and completely reboot. So, you know, Chris was thousands of miles behind me going into Cape Town and would have been out the back door in any event like the Vendée or the Barcelona World Race or any of these nonstop events. But once we stop in Cape Town and we all start together again, he gets a mulligan. And he's back in the game by default. And what it's meant is that each of us have, and especially the other guys, I think, gotten to new levels with their game. And it's changing the dynamic of the race. Every leg we go on, it's tighter and tighter and tighter competition.
American yachtsman Brad Van Loo, winner of leg four of the VLUX 5 Oceans race and overall race leader. Brad's closest rival on this leg of the race, Canadian Derek Hatfield, followed Brad into Charleston around 12 hours later. Polish sailor Gutek Gutowski, who was in second place overall until this leg, is still in Fortaleza, Brazil, where he is repairing his open 60 and recovering from a broken rib. We wish him well and hope he gets to rejoin the race. Tugboat racing, you've just got to do it. I'll be talking to Ken Sanderson about tugboat racing and the Seattle Maritime Festival after this from Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton and Snake Drive. The Seattle Maritime Festival caught my eye this week. It looks like such an amazing event that I had to find out more. The man to talk to was Ken Sanderson, and he joined me on the line from the port of Seattle on Wednesday. Ken, I'm here looking at the website for the Seattle Maritime Festival, and I'm blown away. I've never seen anything like this. You've got the world's largest tugboat race, waterfront chowder cook-off, workboat parade, survival suit races, boat building competition, vessel tours, sea air rescue demonstration. The list goes on and on and on. This is one mighty festival.
You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a great way for the industry to celebrate itself, get together and have a great time. But more importantly, you know, it's a great way to tell the important role that the maritime industry plays in our economy. And it's a terrific chance for the public to come down to the downtown Seattle waterfront, learn about the industry, get to know some of the folks that are involved and really appreciate what the value of the economic impact is to our community.
Because I'm an Englishman, I'm going to ask you about the weather first. Seattle, isn't it going to be covered in snow?
No, from May 12th to the 14th, what we do is we set aside our budget to include lots of sunshine. So we actually pay to have the clouds part and have a great time. We usually have fair decent weather. The past few years, it's been quite clear, a little overcast, temperature and usually the mid-60s. So it's a very pleasant time on the waterfront.
Ever since I was a small child, I've been fascinated by tugboats, and you have this amazing tugboat race. Can you tell us about that?
You know, the tugboat race is a pretty special. It's one of those signature events that we have here in Seattle, and year after year, I'm always amazed the number of people from around the country that call and say, I'm coming up to Seattle to check out the tugboat races. The tugboat races have been going on in Seattle for about 27 straight years. We invite not only the working tugs that help with the ship assists that to participate, but also we have a number of hobby tugs and older tugs that also get involved. We have three heats of what we call racing. It's about a 1.9-mile course that the tugboats run from the north end of the waterfront down to the south end of the waterfront. And it's really more to show the flag than it is actual racing, although several of the companies do take it fairly seriously.
Yeah, I can imagine that this is a really spectacular event. I would love to see that. Also, you have the National Fisherman's Annual Stories of the Sea Fisher Poetry Slam. What's all that about?
You know, it's really a lot of fun. We've been doing that for about 11 years now, and it's a chance for poets from around the U.S. to come to Seattle to tell stories, sing sea shanties, and whatever way they want to share their stories of the sea. Each performer is given about 15 minutes to perform, and we've already got folks signed up from Rhode Island, Oregon, British Columbia, and Washington State to participate in this year's competition. We have a group of judges from the media and industry, and we award cash prizes to the participants.
And they read poetry, or can they play music as well?
They do poetry and music, and it's really interesting. There's one gentleman who is actually the seaport manager for the Port of Seattle that memorizes his entire poems. He'll get up there and do 15 minutes without any note cards.
Well, don't you just hate people like that?
Oh, my gosh. I could never dream of doing that.
So what's available for the kids and the family?
Try to make it a way for the public to discover more about what the industry is all about. So we have vessel tours. For example, the U.S. Coast Guard has a cutter that's brought down for a free open house. The Canadian Navy participates with the tugboat, and she's available for public tours. We have a variety of marine spill response vessels that are called into action with an oil spill, for example, that the public has a chance to tour. So those types of activities are part of the family fun day. We also have three free harbor tours that our Port of Seattle underwrites, and they are a tour of the downtown waterfront. It's about a half hour tour that takes place up and down the waterfront that people can find out more about the industry and see what's going down. And then we have a variety of demonstrations. We have a Sea Air helicopter rescue that the U.S. Coast Guard performs. We have an abandoned ship demonstration. We have a variety of display booths that are available. One of the most popular things that we do is we have a large pond that there's a group of modelers that have built replicas of tugboats and container ships and the harbor patrol boats and things like that. And kids can actually drive and bring a container ship to terminal as a part of this remote control boat display. So lots of family fun. Kids can build their own boat. We have a Center for Wooden Boats up here, and they provide a chance for kids to build their own boat building. And then, of course, they can the public can take advantage of watching the quick and dirty boat building competition, survival suit races, tugboat races, and all the rest of the stuff that's happening.
I don't know how you fit it all in. How many people do you expect to be there?
You know, without anything going on the downtown Seattle waterfront on a fair, decent day, there's 25,000 people that'll be walking around, and we'll easily double that. So we'll have 50,000 plus people on the downtown waterfront that day.
What a wonderful way to celebrate your maritime heritage.
It really is. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, for me as the event producer, it's a great way to tell a story of the important role that the industry plays. And, you know, and this year in particular, our Port of Seattle is celebrating its centennial. So we've incorporated everything from a half hour video that they're showing on the history of the Port of Seattle to providing opportunities for the public to engage with port commissioners and other folks to really learn about the role the Port of Seattle plays in our economy.
And the Port of Seattle itself, is it thriving? Is it prospering?
You know, it's funny. They just came out at the beginning of this year with record-breaking stats. They shipped more cargo last year than they've ever had on record. I believe it was like 2.1 million containers came through the Port of Seattle last year. We had a record number of cruise ships call on the city of Seattle last year, and the airport is continuing to rock. So despite the economy, our Port of Seattle is thriving.
Now, one final question for you, Ken. As a yachtsman and living here in the Caribbean, yachting is what we're all about. What's the yachting scene like up there in Seattle?
You know, the yachting scene is very cool. We have a partnership as a part of our event with the Seattle Yacht Club. Seattle Yacht Club sponsors the opening day of boating up here, which takes place on the first Saturday of May. And it's quite an extravaganza, you know, hundreds of thousands of people line the shores of Lake Washington and our ship canal to watch all these impressive, very highly decorated yachts come through the canal and really enjoy boating. And that kind of kicks off our boating season here. And we do partner with them to promote their activities on their opening day. And then they partner to promote us. I've seen some statistics that we have more boats per capita in Seattle than any place else in the United States. And I wouldn't be surprised. It's a very healthy boating community, everything from the small recreational boater fishermen on up to the huge yachts owned by people like Paul Allen. So it's a thriving community. We do get a number of boaters that come out and watch the tugboat races. We have a marina right in the heart of where our tugboat finish line is that the Port of Seattle runs. And so we tie in quite well with the recreational boater and the yacht folks.
Wow, Seattle is a place I have never visited. I would love to visit. It looks like it's a beautiful place. Maybe one day I'll get to visit. And in the meantime, Ken, we wish you all the best with the Maritime Festival. And we thank you very much for being with us on Yacht Blast.
Thank you, Gary. Looking forward to seeing everybody up here. You can look at the schedule at www.seattlepropellerclub.org. It'll tell you about all the activities, and we wish everybody a happy and safe boating season.
Ken Sanderson, coordinator of the Seattle Maritime Festival. For more information and a great shot of the tugboat race, go to www.seattlepropellerclub.org. The festival takes place May 12th to the 14th. The voices of Simon and Garfunkel, taking us towards the top of the hour. Just time for a couple of local announcements. Mike Childers will be hosting the Atlantic Crossing Forum at Lagoonies Bar and Restaurant. That's over there in Kobe, next to Tropical Sail Loft, this coming Thursday. The action gets underway at 15:30. The forum lets everyone share information about crossing the Atlantic. It's open to everyone, it's free, and it's sponsored by Yacht Blast. So do join us next Thursday, 3:30 in the afternoon, for the Atlantic Crossing Forum at Lagoonies. If you need more information, then email Gaz, G-A-Z, Gaz, at island92.com. The notice of race is out for the Heineken Light Caribbean Laser Championships to be sailed on Orient Bay over the weekend of June 11th and 12th. Registration takes place the day before at Papagayo Restaurant in Orient Bay. There are all sorts of laser classes, age and gender, and you can find out more by contacting the St Martin Yacht Club on 544 2075, or email info@smyc.com. And of course, you can always contact me, Gaz, at Island 92. And that's it, we're out of time. Yacht Blast will be back on Monday night at 7 for the encore performance, and the podcast will be available by late Sunday afternoon, and you can find that on iTunes or by following the link on the Yacht Blast website, yachtblast.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, fair winds and safe sailing.